Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimke Center for Wholeness. Ahimke is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimke is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimke Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimke Mind Management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimke.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimke Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
It's not always easy to see what is coming at you, or better yet, for you. You need someone in your corner who can help you navigate those blind spots. Life Coach Today has a unique ability to guide you toward clarity with compassionate coaching and an amazing sense of humor. As a coach for over 15 years, Life Coach Today has been working closely with people and freeing them to live their best life. If you are in a spot where your best friend's advice or family member's tips are not working for you, you want to step onto the playing field of life with a coach who will walk with you and support you in tapping into the best in you. When you are done with Life Coach Today, you will be the change you want to see. We'll give you practical tools to finally embrace all of you and empower you to step into your greater yet to be. For a 45 minutes complimentary session, email Life Coach Today at ask@lifecoachtoday.com. That's ask@lifecoachtoday.com or call 678-561-0607. That's 678-561-0607. Be still, listen, and be transformed.
Hey, this is Jenny Cressman. I worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years, and I want to give you something to think about. I don't generally like labels, but lately, I've begun to feel that one little label is really important to embrace. Feminism. There, I said it, the new F word. For too many people, that's a dirty word, but really, feminism is about equality. Feminists seek greater social, political, and economic equality of the sexes. It's about raising women up to the same level as men. So, I'm an F word. How about you?
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
Yes, indeed. If you're not feeling free and you're looking for the way, the way in is the way out. Welcome to the House of Love as we support you to move from where you are to where you want to be, to go in, tap into the awakened teacher, Vicky Byers-Beckwith. Do you want to know the way? Yes? The way in is the way out. If you start from without, you miss your way in to the solution. So start from within, and now you're doing something.
I searched around far and wide for the truth that I could feel inside a temple.
To shine the light back. neither doubt nor fear can find a place in me. With God as my devotion, I'm sure of who I am, I'm standing strong. Filled with grace, I live the master plan.
Not in singing, so nothing to do with me, because I'm singing to what I hear in my head. I want to know the way. The way in, the way out. Thank you, Ricky. But what if within is scary? What if I don't feel safe within myself? What if I haven't developed the muscle to go within? What if I don't know my way? What if I don't have a map to go within? What if nobody told me about within? What'd you say? Now that's a good idea. I didn't think about that. Ricky said, tell them to listen to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. Ricky, you're smart. Oh, you got it from within? Okay, good. I understand. When you take it from within, a little bit of fun, a little bit of truth, a little bit of silliness, a little bit, just mix it together, and then you have liberation. Like, you know what? It ain't that deep. No matter how heavy you feel, no matter how heavy it is, it ain't that deep. You know? That's why people who go to the doctor and they tell them they have 6 months to live, or, well, some people, a year to live, some of them will do things that they've always dreamt about. They will do things that they didn't even think about, and they'll start living life to the fullest. Now, some people give up. But, you know, I want to focus on the one that says, you know what, I only got 6 months to live. I'm going to do things that I've always wanted to do, I didn't do. And I think those of us who haven't been given a date, even though we know we have an appointment to transcend, we keep thinking hopefully it'll be longer. Hopefully if we stretch our faces, hopefully if we be nice, we can stretch it there. We don't know when that date is, but if we start living our lives as if we got, like today's the last day. If you just say, okay, you know, midnight tonight, poof, you're going back home. you click your shoes together and you transcend. What would you do today? How would you live your life? Would you try and finish the things that you know you should have done that you haven't done? Would you stress? Would you just beat yourself up? Oh, my God, I got less than 12 hours to go before I transcend. Or would you call people that you love? Would you leave a legacy? Would you want to leave something about you that will last forever? That's the question. You know, we become a society where we talking about death is morbid or whatever. What? Nah, it's a trick. It's a trick. It's time to talk about life and death and death and life and all of it together. Because in that place of darkness, in that place that realm where we don't know. That lies the truth. The way in is the way out. Ricky Byers Beckwith, do you want to know the way? You got to go within. You got to go to that dark place. Be able to ask for support from within. Start from there. Ricky Byers Beckwith. Her website address is weletitbe.com. We let it be. We let it be. And as we let it be, we send our prayers to the world. We send our prayers to the minds of people who are hurting, their minds to people who are healing, the minds of people whose main religion is hate, the mind of people who are so confused. We become the change we want to see. We refuse the urge to be part of the terror consciousness and hold the light of truth and bless whatever is going on in the world, in Boston, in your world, reminding yourself that God is all there is. And if that's too much for you to chew on, remind yourself that there is a power of presence that is ultimately in control of this. We have the power. We have the power to choose love of fear. We have the power. We have the power to fan the flame of judgment and criticism and separatism. And we also have the choice to say, you know what? I am one with all. I am one with the Dalai Lama. I am one with the murderer. I am one with the trees. I am one. If that's blowing your mind, good. Now that your mind has been blown open, no pun intended. Everybody calm down. Don't take it too far. I'm just talking about, let's really face what we call truth. And live from a place of love. Let's push the apply button. Let's support one another. What can you give today? What can you give to your neighbor? What can you give to yourself? How can you make this world a better place? If you start praying right now, how can you be the answered prayer for somebody else? That's what we all been called to do, to step up. The way in is the way out. We are so powerful. We are so much more than what goes on this physical plane. What happens on the physical plane is the end result. It always starts in thoughts, for the most part, before that. But anyway, let's keep it simple. But today we're going to take you back into that place, that unconscious. And you get to sit with the teacher within yourself and bow to yourself and say, Father, Mother, Master, Divine One, what would you have me do? Who would you have me be? How can I serve? What is my divine message? Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and change is inspired. When change is inspired, you make a difference. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. I am is your host. But the uniqueness of this I am presence is known as Life Coach at a. But I am is the host. I am that I am. I am that I am. I am that I am. And so are you. We are one. Welcome home. Welcome to the house of love. Those of you in the chat room on the listen on the internet, those of you listening on the phone line, and those of you listening on the archive, and of course our within radio listeners, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning to yourself first, because that's where it begins. And we're simply here to remind you of what you already know. Life is good, you know, and it's getting better. Today's theme, today's topic is awakening the inner teacher. with the dream interpreter, Dr. Michael Lennox. We'll tell you more about him. Celeste is in the house to do some announcements. And we're going to talk about the teacher, the inner teacher, the teacher within. We may even take some calls and try and figure out what's going on in your conscious realm. What's going on behind the scenes? We see what's happening on stage, but what's going on behind? We have the great ambassador in the house, the ambassador of the unconscious mind. Fear not. I am here to help you embrace the dragons in your unconscious mind. Don't be afraid. The scientific mystic, Michael Lennox, is here. Stay tuned. Stay tuned in. And now we're tuning in to the voice known as... So actually, no, she's not the voice. She is another I Am Presence, a.k.a. the voice, also known as Celeste Morgan. Hello, Celeste Morgan.
Hello, Life Coach today. Hello, family. And Dr. Michael is in the house. I'm very excited about this conversation.
Dr. Michael's in the house. Oh my God! Let me call. I've been cutting up. Let me act like a radio host. Hold on 1 second.
But you know he's been here before, right?
Well, yeah, of course. I remember him. We had an abrupt ending. So we have to bring him back.
He knows you. He's laughing. I can feel him laughing in California.
He knows me.
So, Lord,
I'm trying to impress him. I had a dream today that some man I know, and in the dream, I was trying to hide, but he said, come out. I wonder if he's Dr. Michael. Anyway, go ahead.
Don't make Dr. Michael work listening, because he's probably already putting the symbols together. Okay, what was that? All right, we're going to get to the announcements. They're going to be really short. Going to get through them because I'm so in need of saying hello to my inner teacher. Can I just say that, family? In the house of love. Where is you? I speak English. Where are you, inner teacher? Okay, here we go. Hello, family. Hey, nothing but the truth. It will set you free. Hello, family.
Ain't nothing but a G thing. It's a God thing. Anyway, bye. I'm gone. Good announcement. I'm gone.
You're gone? All right. Hello, family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find the Nutty Professor, a.k.a. Life Coach A Day, right here from Monday through Wednesday, 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss some live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach A Day. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with, so Life Coach today and our wonderful Dr. Michael Lennox can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure that you press 1 on your keypad. Now, if you can't call in, you can post your questions on the Ask Life Coach Today fan like page. Please be sure to create a new posting. We want to make sure we get to you. Now, if you don't do or can't get on Facebook, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. Hover on the Life Conversations Radio menu, then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach Today button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I'll be offering the energy of the day. The theme for the month of April is listening to your inner voice. And we have wonderful guests coming up that will shift you one conversation at a time. Tomorrow, Life Coach A Day will be joined by our very own Tracy Ann Miller discussing her sacred activism work. It's going to be a great show, so make sure you join us. We also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. Be sure to join Ambassa Safara for the play experience on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach A Day on the last Wednesday of the month, and also the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. You can find out more about these shows at LifeConversationsMedia.com. Now, did you know that the Ask Life Coach Today radio show is syndicated It is on Within Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. Finally, you have an opportunity to contribute to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. Go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, then hover, don't click, on the Life Conversations radio menu. Then click the Ask Life Coach Today drop-down menu, and you will see a donate button on the right-hand side. And we thank you in advance for being such a blessing to us. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Today.
Thank you, my friend. Continue to heal, continue to embrace yourself, and continue to listen to the inner teacher. She has something to tell you.
I will. Thank you, Life Coach Day. Have a great show.
Thank you very much. Talk to you later. Yes, indeed. Life is good. It's getting better. What is the answer to all that we're going through and growing through? It is awakening to the inner teacher. It's waking it up. Some of us, our inner teacher is taking a nap. For some of us, our inner teacher is dreaming. Like, I'm dreaming that I'm awake, but I'm really sleeping. It's time to wake it up. Say, come on. We got something for you to do. Let me move myself out of the way. Let me surrender. I am afraid, I'm scared, but I'm surrendering to my inner teacher. Because I have something to learn. As a matter of fact, I have something to teach. I am here to inspire. I am so much more than what I'm going through and growing through. I am afraid, but you know what? There is a power and presence within me that knows all things. As Ricky Byers just told us at the beginning of the show, the way in is the way out. And now we're going to take a journey inside. We're going to take a dream site into your life. Let me read a little bit about my friend, Michael Lennox, who is returning. People come return, we don't call them a guest anymore. But, you know, they're free. This is their home. We're one. But, you know, we got to sometimes use those words, the guest, the teacher, myself, psychologist, astrologer, and dream expert, Dr. Michael Lennox. Has been helping people have a deeper understanding of their unconscious mind for almost 20 years. He obtained his master's and doctorate in psychology from the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. He's the author of Dream Sight, a dictionary and guide for interpreting any dream. And this, if you just want to know what's going on behind the scenes in your world and you sometimes just think, get yourself a copy, because I'll pick it up and open, even with friends that will ask me and talk about dreams, pick it up. And so he breaks it down so many levels. I mean, but we're going to talk more about that. And Dr. Lennox, he's everywhere. He's on YouTube, he's on Google, he's on the internet radio, he is in the house, he is Mike. I don't know what's going on with me today. Since the show started, I've just been feeling kind of silly. I do need to feel silly because I was feeling a little bit heavier early this morning, but we're going to break that up. An internet staple, Dr. Lennox hosts a weekly radio show on Unity Online Radio. And the name of his radio show is Dream Interpretation with Dr. Michael Lennox. Quite simple. He leads workshops and retreats around the country and conducts a worldwide private practice based in Southern California. He is also the scientific mystic, as I said before, the ambassador of the unconscious mind. He helps you he holds your hand and take a trip into that dark place and say, it's okay. There is a gift. The dragons turn into dragonfly, and they can just give you, you know, you can see beyond the illusions. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my friend, my brother, myself, Dr. Michael Lennox. How are you doing, Doc?
Oh, you've been slaying me a day. You really are in just such a playful mood today, and I'm loving it.
I don't know where I know where it came from. I'm grateful for it because sometimes, you know, things just get kind of heavy and kind of thick, and you just start telling all this thing, why, what's going on, and the universe, like, just relax.
You know, it's supposed to be playful.
Yes. Yes.
It really is. You know, have you ever watched the Dalai Lama? He's constantly giggling.
I know that is right. And even if I'm just playful for... Go ahead.
Oh, I should say, it's a merry journey. It is fun.
Yes. And even when it's painful, you can like, ha, look at me. I'm in pain.
Yep.
Oh, my God. What's that coming through my eyes? Oh, tears. Wow. Let me out. That hurts. Oh, my God. I'm not supposed to be crying at work. That's so funny.
Yep.
I think you put the fairies and the little elves with you today because I was nowhere near feeling like this before the show, but I welcome it all. You know, my inner teacher wants to play, so it is.
Indeed.
It's nice to have you back. Nice to have you back on Life Conversations Radio. I'm ready to jump into the conversation with you. And, of course, we've got to ask this. We've got to get the simple questions out of the way, you know. So let's ask this question so we can move on. I want to ask you before we jump in, as I said, as I repeat myself, who are you? Who is Michael Lennox?
Yeah. Well, you know, I do resonate with that idea of being an ambassador to the unconscious mind. I have always been sort of aligned with this idea that there's just way more to this experience that is life than what we can see and what is obvious and what is apparent. Even when I was a little boy, you know, I was that kid sitting at the table while the grown-ups were talking. And I noticed that one person would say one thing to another, and the other person would respond. And I would be sitting there at like 9 years old and go, golly, they didn't understand each other at all.
Mm.
This one said, pass the salt, and the other one said, I'll go get the potato chips. And then they would operate like they had understood each other. And I thought, wow, this happens all the time. Nobody's really getting each other, but they think that they are. And I this is a fundamental understanding I had about how humans interact as a little boy before I had any real sort of adult consciousness of what that meant. And of course now what I understand that to mean is that there's this veil between our true understanding of ourselves and each other that is part of the sleeping consciousness. And that to wake up is to wake up to that mystery, wake up to that pervasive disconnect so that a connection can then happen. It's the waking up from separation consciousness into unity consciousness. And you got to wake up first. You got to know that you've been asleep in order to appreciate what can be seen and felt and heard and experienced in that waking, unified state. And I help people do that.
Wow. You know, I get inspired when I listen to people when people talk, period, because so much gets triggered for me. And I'm listening to you, and you talk about how people were communicating as a child, what you noticed. And I can't help but go to the area of that way of being, that way of communicating. How did that affect, influence you growing up? As a child, as a teenager, and then
I
young
think
adult.
It resulted in me feeling very isolated and very alone and stimulated an enormous amount of grief because that tender underbelly of my sort of being never felt seen or touched. And then the evidence out. So if I felt that isolated and separate sort of sensibility in my own gut as a kind of pervasive experience of my humanity, and then I looked out in the world and I saw, well, no one's doing it out there. No one's connecting. That just increased my belief that connection was impossible. And then this lonely, devastatedly isolated part of me was never going to be given the light of day, was never going to get to breathe free. And then, of course, my own struggles with my own humanity supported that. And so the wounding became just deeper and deeper and deeper. And, of course, as you know, we know that that is in deepening that wounded experience and diving into it is where the healing, you know, begins. Mm. And and that's the sort of irony of that deep and profound aloneness is that, you know, it, that's part of what we were born into. We as human beings, that is the human experience, is to be immersed in, I am separate. I am separate from you. I am separate from everything. I am separate from my maker. And our job as gracious, powerful human beings is to move towards unity anyway. find the places where I do believe it, where I do feel one with everything. And when those breakthroughs happen, the satisfaction and the expansiveness that comes when I really feel the connectedness with all. And then what I recognize as a discipline, as a practice, is I can cultivate that every day. Mm-hmm. I can cultivate that sensation that I'm connected every day, even when I feel profoundly disconnected. That's what awakening the inner teacher is waking up to that part of me that uses all of those challenging experiences day to day to know exactly where the work is. Just like you said, you woke up today in a heavier mentality. So to me, the heaviness that you felt just helped you point to where does the light need to be shined today or shown.
Right.
Shine on, whatever. I can't think of the syntax, but you know, when we wake up and we're feeling sad or disconnected or angry or afraid or anxious, mm-hmm. that anxiety or that fear is just a way pointer. It says, this way, look. Mm-hmm. Look over here, because here's where I'm afraid. Here's where I'm saying no. Here's where I'm doubting. Then just go right over there and say, okay, light mm-hmm. here, please. mm-hmm. Shine the light here.
Yep. You really put in words to where I was, because I woke up and I was asking all these questions. Why am I feeling heavy? And why is this? Why is that? And then it's like, what does it really matter?
Why? What an awful
but
question.
I do know what I can do. So what is the answer? The way in is the way out. So go within and I start having a conversation with the inner teacher. And I was told what to do. And I was reminded what gives me energy, what moves me. It's like, they start doing those things. It's like, yeah, that is true. That is true. I got it. And you know, you talked about the pain, how deep it is. And the pain is so deep that it causes separation. It causes us to feel separated. And really, it's an interesting thing, because life is interesting. I say, if you're on this planet, you need to give yourself a pat on the back.
That's right.
Life is not for wimps. You know,
this is not a planet for sissies.
No, it's not.
No.
No, it's not. So if you're on here right now, then you got to know you're one of the strong ones.
That's
and you talked about feeling wanting to be seen. You know, people feel like they're not being seen. They feel like they don't matter because there's pain, there's grief, there's abuse. You know, we can list all these things. How do you suggest people go about tapping in or connecting with the inner teacher? Because sometimes the idea of waking up the inner teacher sounds very exciting, and we try and bypass the pain, the discord, the feeling of separation, and say, if I just connect with the inner teacher, then I'll be fine. But while the pain and the grief is just waiting there saying, I'll be here whenever you're ready, how do you suggest we blend the two to be able to heal and not, you know, well, for lack of a better term, use the inner teacher as a quick fix?
Well, you're speaking to what is commonly referred to as the spiritual bypass, which is to go so quickly to the everything is light and love that you would encapsulate the pain in a little cyst inside you. So here we are the day following the tragedy in Boston. What a perfect example of a moment where fear, anger, rage, grief is unavoidable.
Yes.
There's nobody who can turn into the media at this point, whether you're directly connected to the city of Boston or someone who was there, or far away from it like I am, 3,000 miles away with no one. I don't know anyone who was, you know, running in Boston. But you cannot avoid that this occurrence is going to call up some of these feelings. If you use a spiritual sensibility to say, well, I see only light, which is true, by the way, because there's light in everything. There's God's hand. Yeah, you were saying this so eloquently at the top of the show that, yes, God is even in charge of this. So it's true that light and love is all that there is. It's true that this is a divine and perfect unfolding. But if you don't lean into the rage and anger and fear and grief, at least a little bit, you'll encapsulate it and it'll turn into a cancer. The trick is not to stay there. You can't let it engulf you and say, well, this is all that's true. This is a horrible thing. I'm enraged. I'm overwhelmed with grief. And as I'm saying all of this still feels like a platitude and words, yak, 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 yak. You know, in other words, if we don't get practical, like if I don't finish this little monologue up with something practical, it's worthless. Because, you know, the awakening the teacher within isn't an amorphous sort of ambiguous sort of thing that, oh, then airy-fairy, you certainly know what to do. You gotta know, you have to have some tools. One tool is breath. It's the first thing that goes when we're confronted with anger, rage, and grief. We stop breathing.
Yes, we hold our breath. Took my breath
away. Hold our breath.
Yeah.
And we might not even know we're holding our breath. You know, when I work with people in person, as in my sort of intuitive gifts, both as a psychologist and as an astrologer, one of the things that I'm watching, and I'm not watching this consciously, I'm not sitting there going, ooh, what are they doing with their breath? But I'm tuned in enough to be responsive to the tiny fluctuations of breath. So my one suggestion to do this kind of work when faced with a moment of confronting grief, rage, is to stay with the sensation that's coming up, the feeling that's coming up, but place a hand on your heart and one on your belly and breathe into it. Feelings come to pass. They don't come to stay. We tend to grab them and wrestle them into the ground. And get
no, don't go yet.
Right, right.
Point.
Or we get so identified with them that we think, this is the true me. The authentic true me is the part of me that's in pain or sadness. That was something I believed for many, many, many years. I was so used to being sad and then masking that sadness in order to be more successful out there in the world. I used to think, well, the sadness is the true me. And that's not true at all. What it is that sadness is truly in me. But it pulses and fluctuates rhythmically as part of one little color on my palette. And so when a sad moment comes up, and I've had a few since the bombings in Boston yesterday, I simply put a hand on my heart, one on my belly, breathe a little more deeply, and I let the feeling sort of sing out. And within seconds, usually, it's gone or passed. Now, it might return again 11 minutes later,
right.
And then I just do it again. And just let the experience wave through me so that it doesn't get stuck anywhere. So this idea that you can clean up a rageful response or an angry response or a grieving response to something in an instant and be done with it completely is a misnomer. That would be a spiritual bypass. It's a process.
You know, I'm listening to what you're saying, and I'm actually grateful for what I'm seeing in the chat room here. Sylvia in the chat room said, I think this process is very exhausting. Now, to be quite clear, I'm making an assumption that she's talking about
maybe the, well, this is what I'm assuming, that the breathing in and out. But please clarify that. Which part is exhausted? I'm interested to know that, because, I'll take that and it triggers a thought. As I said, when I'm talking to people, everything people say triggers something for me. There are times where we feel like the spiritual practice is a lot of work.
Yes.
You know, and it is quite, you know, it's like, I think, how do I put this? This is what's coming up for me. It's kind of like a spiritual laziness or amnesia. We I love that laugh. Actually, I'm not going to ask you a question. I'm just going to let you speak because you already caught it. I love that. You know, the spiritual amnesia. You know, you said earlier the whole thing is what I got. It's that really we are here to bring light to the darkness. We are here to experience the so-called separation, and through our spiritual practice, be the light, be yes. the connection. You know, like you said, the yes. breathing in and out. I'm not going to ask you a question. I'm just going to throw it to you and share whatever's coming up.
You've said so many things that have sparked me. One thing you asked, which I love, this is a brilliant question, which part of us is tired? Which part of us is exhausted? And the part of us that's exhausted is the egoic human part. Right? And it needs rest. It needs to be honored. That doesn't mean that the exhaustion is false or phony. You know, in the body-brain relationship, there's a sense of exhaustion that happens that is felt in the body but is really experienced in the brain. There was a sleep study done by the military where there was a chemical process that was able to turn off the sort of sleep center in brain chemistry. Now, I'm not talking about amphetamine. It was much more sophisticated than that. It actually just turned off the need for sleep. And what they found was people who were treated in this way, their bodies could go on for several days being very effective. What that tells us is that when we're tired and we're exhausted, we think, oh, my body is so exhausted. I've been going so long. I've been doing so much. My body needs rest. It's actually the brain that needs the rest. The body is filled with the life force of, well, what the mystic would call the divine. You know, the scientist would call it, you know, I don't know, electricity.
Who knows what they'll call it, energy, maybe.
Right, they'll call it something that poo-poos the mystical part of it. But then the body is filled with a life force, and that is the divine. It's the brain. Let's talk about it as heart consciousness and head brain consciousness. The heart runs the body's life force, and it is inexhaustible. The brain is the ego mind. The brain is the watcher. The brain is the part of us that we get so identified with that we think it's running the show. But really all it's there to do is tell us whether we need a sweater that day. That part of us gets exhausted. But not the heart. The heart is indefatigable. It never gets tired of beating. And the heart consciousness is the divine consciousness. But our egoic, witnessing human mind, the part that thinks it's separate, boy, does that get tired.
Yes.
I know that that's the case when I'm working. You know, when I travel to do my work out in the world, it's pretty exhausting because I'll do clients all day long and then I'll do a workshop that night. My human side says, I'm too tired to do this. And I believe it. It really feels that way. It really feels like I am too tired. But the work that I do is it's built into the work that it's not me really doing it. I'm just the space holder. The gift isn't the wisdom that comes through me. The gift is I have the capacity to hold the space so that the wisdom comes through, the guidance comes through, and then the energy comes through completely.
Mm.
Now, this is not to say that this mental exhaustion or this human exhaustion is to be ignored. That's right. Deadly.
Right. Right. You know, I love how you put it, because the heart holds no judgment. It's the head that does the good and bad, what's moral, what isn't. And yes, Nahali, Sylvia in the chat room did say that
when she said this process is very exhausting, the enlightenment, the growing part, and you've kind of just broke it down in simple terms. And it's all about, really, it's like, what's that Sam statement? Nothing is good or bad. Thinking makes it so.
Absolutely, and, right. Even the exhaustion. So it's, I'm not saying the exhaustion isn't real.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That person in the chat room is absolutely right. It's exhausting.
Mm.
But it's not, if you use that exhaustion to stop it or hinder it or slow it down, it's just a, just don't do that.
Right. That's right. And you know, for me, I want to address something else in here. Harley, when I said, you know, it's like we get caught up in this spiritual laziness. I'm saying we, and I mean, I'm sure, I don't know about Dalai Lama. I don't know about the so-called enlightened ones, but I know for myself, there are times I don't want to do the work. I just wish,
that is correct.
You know, what I want, it was what I want, and to get the answer rather than have to change my energy.
That's right.
So there are times that I just like, why did it have to be all about me? That's part of my human self. We are, on some level, spiritually lazy. We are lazy because we think, oh my God. I mean, the people that we watch, that we celebrate, that we think inspire us, if they just said, you know, the celebrities, or not, if people who are doing great work, let me just put it that way. They put a lot of time and energy into their work. We buy their albums, we buy their movies, we go see it, but they put a lot of work. If they said, it's just too much, okay, I went to bed at 2 o'clock, I can't wake up, it's too much, then we all miss out on something.
That's right. That's right.
Because they didn't want. So for us, if we want to shine the light that we are, we must be willing to embrace the exhaustion. We must be willing to do the work. And for me, where I'm at in consciousness is, it really doesn't matter if I don't do the work. God is still going to be God. The universe is still going to be the universe. All is well, because it is really all God. But we do have the tools, as you just shared with us, the ability to just breathe in and breathe out, even when we feel exhausted.
Yep.
We acknowledge that, you know, and being able to just bring ourselves back to the center, being able to say, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I am afraid. I am scared. I'm confused. So just own that. Understand
yes.
the I am presence and what you put next to it. But we're not talking about that. You know, right now, we're just talking about just being able to declare where you are, just be able to say where you are so that you can hear it. We've got another question, but before I read that, I want to remind listeners. And are you up for doing some dream interpretation? I mean, that's kind of
absolutely. Absolutely.
I know you love it, but it's kind of like a setup question, really. I mean, because you ask somebody who's a dream interpreter live on the radio, are you up for
yeah, right. Oh, no, thank you. I don't feel like it.
Say no.
let me illustrate my humanness here. No, I don't want to. Actually, I love doing dreams anywhere, on the radio or even out in public. People are often sheepish about asking me. But, you know, small talk is horrifying.
Oh,
right?
My God. Listen, I'm giving you a hug for what you just said. I am giving you a hug. I am so thank you. I've said it, but just there's something about the way you said it. I think for me, it's being able to hear somebody else say it. It's like, I'm thinking, is that why I don't have close friends? Because I don't know how to have small talk.
Yeah, small talk is awful. And so if I'm out in a public place where I don't have an intimate connection with someone, and therefore small talk is really the only option that makes sense, I would much prefer to be asked to interpret a dream than to sit, you know, for 5 minutes, make some inane bunch of, you know, small talk.
I'm not going to go on a tangent on that one, but I so get it. People say to me, how are you doing? And I go through this mental process of, okay, did I just say, okay, good? Or did I tell them exactly how I'm doing? Well, we're taking your calls, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. Michael Lennox is my guest, my friend, myself, on the other side of this conversation. He's the author of Dream Sight, a dictionary and guide for interpreting any dream. So it doesn't matter if you had a dream yesterday, it's a recurring dream, a dream you had a year ago, but kind of stays with you. 347-426-3346. You can also find out more about Dr. Michael Lennox by going to his website. It's real simple. It's his name, Michael, LENNOX.com. So this
go to another. There's another question here. Let me see. So let's just give that to me in the chat room. Where's the question? Ah, here we go. No, that's not it. I put my multitasking self to sleep today. I said, I don't want to do too much. Okay, so here's the question. What if it's your partner that causes all these feelings? I can't really walk around with my... I'm not laughing at you, but I'm just laughing at the statement, Mariana. She said, I can't really walk around with my hand in my stomach and my heart at all times. That's the head talk. So,
yes.
If you're having unsettling feelings, if you're having this challenges are coming up and you just want to just slap somebody,
yeah.
She says, I can't put my hands on my stomach and my hand on my heart all the time. How do I deal with this?
That is true. And of course, you know, partnership is like the grad school work of consciousness unfolding. You know, we do the most profound work in our intimate relationships. And this doesn't even have to be necessarily a romantic partnership where this is true. The closer the relationship, the more work that's going to be involved. And the people that we're most intimate with are going to push our buttons the most profoundly. That's why they are the most intimate relationships. That is the nature of the relationship game. We come here to unfold to our true selves, and we choose and attract people who are going to assist us in doing that. And that's our partners. One of the things that one cultivates with putting your hand on your heart and one on your belly and taking a breath is the art of the pause. And that pause is really what's being activated when you do that thing that I was describing about actually touching yourself and making a, you know, a conscious sort of shift. So one learns how it's like if putting your hand on your heart and one on your belly and taking a breath was the push-up, the extra musculature in your arms and chest is the result that you want to put into action when you're hanging out with your partner. So you learn how to pause so that when they say something that pushes your buttons, and they will, that's what they're there for, you give yourself the extra moment to call in the assistance that comes from your higher self, your divine self. And, you know, how often do we in our partnerships just react so quickly that then the conversation takes on the life of its own that it's always had, and now you're having that same argument that you've had 6,342 times since you met. But if you pause for a moment and just sort of, you know, they don't need to know that inside your mind you're saying a prayer. They're just sort of waiting for you to say what you're going to say next. Or maybe they're not waiting. Maybe they're yakking away. Whatever they're doing, you can change the dynamic of what happens next by stopping the reactive patterning. But you can only do that if you know how to pause. You know, so yeah, I would think that if you suddenly started putting your hands all over yourself, your partners might go, what's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. But the action that you're cultivating there is the stopping, the pausing, the breaking of the rhythm. Hell, even just say, I got to go to the bathroom. Hold on a second. Hold that thought. Break the energy. Yes. Leave the room. Not in an angry, storming way, but there's nothing quite so powerful to disengage a pattern than to actually physically shift the energy, move into a different room.
Yes, yes. You know, and I want to, you know, you shared a technique, we're talking about it, and the further question that came from Mariana about where I can put my hand on my heart and my stomach all day, all the time, for me, what I hear is still, it's like there is a, and anybody, whoever that voice represents at this moment. As human beings, we say we want an answer, but there's still an intellectual stance that we take of still being right or making somebody else's wrong. Now,
and I think part of it is because we don't really understand the power of the breath. It's always been with us, so I think we've taken it for granted, just like the power that we are. So, you know, we kind of don't think, oh, yeah, okay, take a breath, oh, big deal. But if someone said, I'm struggling paying my mortgage, I'm struggling paying for my child's private school, and I say, listen, I know a millionaire. He's very generous, he's spiritual, he's compassionate, and all you got to do is email him, and he would write you a check for whatever you need. I doubt people would say, well, what about after I spend all the money he gives me? What am I going to do then? No, they would say, what's his number? Where is he at?
They'd say, get me to the solution. Right.
Exactly. And so, and I want to encourage you, Marianne, as you listen to this, because, I mean, I love that you said, Dr. Lennox, about the whole thing, using the breath as the push-up. When you're bodybuilding, you don't spend the rest of your day, the whole of your day in the gym. You go in for 15, 30, 45 minutes. So that during the time that you need to carry something physically, or you spend time in your spiritual gym by doing your spiritual practice, when something happens, you've wired your brain to say, oh, I need to take a breath.
Yes.
To just be still.
Just be still. You know, and this brings up for me the sort of other side of the work. We'll stay in the realm of our intimate relationships, our partners, which are beset by patterns. So we've now sort of talked about, well, how to potentially approach a moment when you're engaged with a person. If you're also knowing, if you are aware that there's a patterning coming up between you and an intimate, you can address that patterning on your own as something you want to attend to. Perhaps there's a resentment going on that's causing some unforgiveness. And that's the sort of fundamental underpinning of the challenge that happens in the moment. You can, on your own, when you're not engaged with your partner, sit down and say, okay, I'm going to work on this resentment. I'm always resenting my partner for this, that, and the other thing. You could sit down and do some radical forgiveness work, which is a written sort of outline that will take you through the anger, the sadness, and the desire. So you would sit down and write it as if it were a letter, perhaps. Not the one that you would send. It's between you and your higher self. And you start with, I'm angry that. You just let the pen flow, and you get all the anger out. I'm angry that you do this. I'm angry that you do that. I'm angry, 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 angry. When that's been sort of satiated, the next piece would be, I'm sad that. I am sad that we are not more connected. I am sad that I feel alone. I am sad that I, la, 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 la. And then when you're finished with the sadness, you would write into, the deep desire of my heart now is that we have a more intimate connection, that I am free of this, you know, habitual way of seeing things. So there's always work that can be done behind the scenes as well with regard to the relationship habits and patterns that we find ourselves locked into. And I think often people are so busy looking out there for where the problem and therefore the solution needs to be. They need to fix that. I'll show up more lovingly when he or she stops doing that thing, which is crazy, because the way to get them to stop doing the thing is to shift you. It's amazing how fast other people shift when we take the initiative.
Indeed. And I think we'll take a break. Let's take a break, because there's a different place I want to go to. We're going to talk about dreams and the unconscious realm, and even the whole idea of this when we're in intimate relationships or relationships, period, how that highlights in us, how that wakes up in us what is in the way, for lack of a better word, what is blocking the love that we really are. So I want to talk about that when we come back from the after celestial moment. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be back. So I love Dr. Michael. I love his passion, I love his energy, and he gave me a gift, because I trip about not being able to do small talk. I just don't know how. I get uncomfortable thinking, should I make up stuff? No, I'm not making up stuff. I don't know what to say. Oh, the weather. Oh, the Hawks. Okay, great. Kobe broke his leg. Oh, okay. That's just wrong. It just doesn't excite me. So
I got what I need. My inner teacher is free. We're taking your call, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. And, yeah, if you want your dream interpreted or something you're moving through and you need help, call in. Yes, indeed. So much is going on in my head, hence the So right now, I'm going to take a breath. Now, wait a minute. Put my hand on my heart and on my stomach and breathe. Okay. Come back to now. We're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to have Celeste do a moment with Celeste Morgan, and then we'll continue and the conversation, recognizing that the pain, the frustration, the anger that you feel, it's just the things that are blocking the love that you are. It's actually a gift. I know it doesn't feel like it. And sometimes it's just easy to blame the other person. But what if they're really in, you fill in the blank. Yes, but once you remove the block, as Dr. Michael just said, it won't matter if they're this or that. You will be free. Now, if you listen to this radio show, this is what it's about. If you're ready to do the work, good luck. Because here, this is what we do. We want people to wake up. We want you to connect with your inner teacher. The time is now. The world is calling for you, and we are daring you to live your best life.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
It's not always easy to see what is coming at you, or better yet, for you. You need someone in your corner who can help you navigate those blind spots. Life Coach Today has a unique ability to guide you toward clarity with compassionate coaching and an amazing sense of humor. As a coach for over 15 years, Life Coach Today has been working closely with people and freeing them to live their best life. If you are in a spot where your best friend's advice or family member's tips are not working for you, you want to step onto the playing field of life with a coach who will walk with you and support you in tapping into the best in you. When you are done with Life Coach Today, you will be the change you want to see. We'll give you practical tools to finally embrace all of you and empower you to step into your greater yet to be. For a 45 minutes complimentary session, email Life Coach Today at ask@lifecoachtoday.com. That's ask@lifecoachtoday.com or call 678-561-0607. That's 678-561-0607. Be still, listen, and be transformed.
Sorry about that. She said, be still, and I got still, but I forgot to come back. But no, I need to be still and be transformed. Be still, listen, and be transformed. You got some questions coming, and I think Dr. Michael is triggering stuff. This is good. Healing is happening, and it's time for Celeste a moment with Celeste Morgan and the lady with the voice. Hello, Celeste. How are you doing?
Wow. Michael Lennox is a healer. So are you, Life Coach Today, but we knew that about you. And before I start my celestial moment, when he was here last time, I discovered something about his last name that I would love to gift him because he's just cutting
up. Are you listening?
I am. I'm dying of curiosity. I'm on the edge of my seat.
I'm wonderful. Michael Lennox, man, you're my dream because I have a master's in social work, and I love what you're doing with the dream interpretation, your intuitive gifts with the psychology piece. So you literally are a way shower for me, okay, on how to blend that. But on top of that, your first name, do you know what it means? I don't want to insult you if you already know what your first name is.
Well, I mean, my understanding is that Michael is, he was close to God.
Yes. Who is like God? Now, what about your last name? Do you know?
I don't know.
That's my gift for you.
Yay!
I know, right? All right, get ready for this because it's so you. I love when this happens. But Lennox means with many elm trees. Now, I've been in the Celtic tree thing lately, okay? And what you have to do is go just one level deeper. I'm like, okay, I'm an elm tree. What does that mean? Well, check this out. The meaning includes strength of will and intuition.
Ugh.
Elm wood is valued for its interlocking grain and consequent resistance in splitting, with significant uses in wheels, chairs, and coffins. This wood is resistant to decay when permanently wet, and hollowed trunks were widely used as water pipes during the medieval period in Europe. Now, if you take that earthly meaning of it and flip it metaphysically, how strong, how resistant, how full in your will and intuition are you?
Oh, my goodness.
With many elm trees.
Oh, my goodness. And the conduit for the movement of water.
Isn't that beautiful?
I
That's
love
you.
That. I mean, that I accept that is a beautiful gift. Thank you. Well, to me, the idea of being the conduit for the movement of water is this idea that the divine feminine is the energy that's needing to be most cultivated on the planet right now for the healing of things. And as a man who, you know, vibrates in the masculine principle, I also recognize my responsibility to be the conduit for the movement of feminine power through the masculine principle. So, yay!
And the goddess thanks you. Oh! All right, so I have to give that to him. Thank you so much for receiving your gift and allowing all of us. So you have to let people in your family know that they have that gift too. All right.
Beautiful.
Okay. So we're going to get to Celestial Moment. Hi, Life Coach today. Hello, everybody in the family. Loving all of you and feeling your energy. There are a lot of us who needed to be awakened, and you guys are doing it today. So thank you so much. All right, I'm going to get to it. And I'm breathing. Yes. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. I come bearing another gift, and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. The energy of the day equals 8, and 8 is the number of infinity. It represents balance. In tarot, 8 can show up as justice or strength. In Mother Peace tarot, we ask for justice first. Not just the justice of you reap what you sow, but the justice of meeting needs by responding to each other's hard call. 8 is also the otter in medicine cards, reminding us to move gently down the stream. In so doing, we will discover the medicine of woman, the realized dream. The 8th letter of the alphabet is H, and H is called the holy letter, where it's like honor, heaven, and healing connect us to divine energy found in 8. Now, today we're going to do a twist in our number game. The spotlight is on the hummingbird. Its number is not 8. It is actually 44. Add it up and you get 8. So here we go. Hummingbird, joyful little sister, nectar you crave. All the sweetness of the flowers is the love you gave.
Fly the path of hummingbird, whose sacred message is joy, regardless of the circumstances. Hummingbird follows its own voice, tasting all the essences of life. It teaches us how to embrace the duality of oneness by eating from the tree of life. Hummingbird doesn't have to worry about trusting anything. Hummingbird is too busy having fun in its own lane, so you will find it easy for the hummingbird to maintain. It has created more space for joy. That's its focus. With focus, life expands. So let's pay attention to people with hummingbird medicine. These folks love life. When they show up, their joy is contagious. They will have you giggling for no reason. They will teach you how to pick metaphysical flowers. But you've got to make sure you're free to fly. Let go of the illusion of separation and get ready to laugh musically and enjoy Creator's many gifts. Want to find your inner teacher? The hummingbird will lead the way. Relax and be the joy you seek today. And that's the story of 8 through the hummingbird of medicine cards. All is well. I'll see you on Wednesday around 1 for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my soul. Down in my soul. Down in my soul. I got a joy.
Okay. Oh, I love that song. Go ahead and channel my gospel roots.
Work. Yeah.
Wonderful show. And I know you've got a dream question. And I want to throw out, if we have time, I had a dream today. I would love Dr. Michael to work on with me. At the end.
I'm game.
Okay.
Okay, we'll come back to you. Now, I do need you to. Okay. I got it. I do need you to clarify the anonymous email that we got, because it says I'm guessing I no longer talk to her because she's negative and literally makes me sick. What I want to know is this in the dream, or?
Oh yes, I believe that's what's in the dream. In response to the dream, but I have to look at that again. I know we got an
clarify that if this person doesn't talk to their mother anymore because the mother's so negative, or in the dream they didn't talk to each other. I just want to clarify that before I read the whole thing. Okay.
All right.
I'm going to be willing to bet that that's a life experience.
That
sounds to me like a life experience. Like, I don't talk to my mother anymore because she's toxic, and I had this dream. That's my guess, but if you can clarify it before we go, all the better.
Actually, that is it. That's it, guys. You're absolutely right.
Great.
I'm reading it. They are no longer.
Okay, sorry about that, Celeste. I just muted you.
Oh, no, it's okay. No, I'm just saying Dr. Michael is right. It's a life experience. Okay, and they are listening, and they thank you both in advance. Okay.
No. Well, I don't know about that.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't guarantee that they'll like what I have to say, but anyway, I'm kidding.
I'm ready. We're all ready because you are up to your channel. All right, guys, I'm out.
I just love you, man. I love
you. Thank
you,
buddy. Me too. You.
Yes, I mean, it's time to just relax. But anyway, now, there's so many places I want to go here, and I want to tie it in because there's a question in the chat room, and the question is, blah, 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 where is it? That's why I like to have you post the question. But let me go here. I think Celeste posted somewhere to make it easy for me. I'm going to paraphrase. The question is really, what if the other person is not doing the work? We've been talking about us doing the work, breathing in, putting our hands on our heart and on our stomach, solar plexus, breathing in. But in a relationship, intimate relationship like marriage or dating, or I guess intimate relationship as in husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, blah, 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 whatever you want to call it. What if the other person is not doing the work?
Since we can never control other people, control is a complete illusion. It's irrelevant that they're not doing the work. I understand that that's very frustrating. So I'm not discounting the challenge that's built into that. It is definitely a challenge. However, there's only your work that you can ever attend to. And in fact, the only influence you can ever have on someone else doing their work is to do your own. the temptation to continue to focus on, well, they're not doing their work, and therefore I won't, or my work is to get them to do their work, is really just the language of resistance. You said it earlier today when you talked about that if you surrender, I'm also grossly paraphrasing here, if you surrender something that someone else is doing, if you let go of the hold and the grip that it has on you, at the very least, you'll have freedom. It might cause the form of the relationship to change.
Right.
And that's right. Sad, but that's freedom too.
Mm-hmm.
But my advice to anyone who's suffering that kind of a construct is just do your work more deeply, more profoundly, and watch the miracle unfold. You want to get somebody else to shift? Shift yourself.
That's right. That's right. Because the truth is, you know, there's a saying, nobody can hurt your feelings without your permission.
That's
and
right.
We can all agree on that. But here's the thing. Nobody really makes you angry or they piss you off. You are the one responding to what
correct.
They did or what they said. So the anger is in you.
And it's in you regardless of them. In other words, the feeling
yes.
inside of you has to exist there first for someone to even trigger it.
Indeed.
Someone said, I saw a wonderful quote about relationships. I don't really know who said it, but it was this idea that relationships don't hurt. Relationships only bring up the hurt that's already inside of you.
That's right. And so for those who want a soulmate, hold on.
Yeah, hold on, baby. Put that seatbelt on.
And then when you hold on and it gets too painful, let go. And then hold on again and then let go.
Right.
Okay, let's go to dream. Actually, well, let's see. Yeah, let's go to this dream interpretation. We'll just dance around wherever you feel led to. Something's bubbling up for you, Michael, just let me know. But okay, let's go here. I want to go to this dream question. And it's funny because it's all in there. So here's the dream. What does it mean if I keep having a dream about my mother and if I keep having a dream about my mother and I physically fighting? She terrorizes me in my dream. I no longer talk to her because she's so negative, and it literally makes me sick.
Well, awesome. I mean, the dream to me is to be celebrated because, you know, the mother relationship is the primary relationship that there is in our human experience, and a toxic mother gets disengaged with twice, once out there in the world exteriorly and then again interiorly. In other words, she may have cut the relationship off in the waking world, but in the dreamscape, she's processing the toxicity, the bitterness, the anger, the betrayal, the sadness, and it is a fight. It is a fight. My suggestion would be to work with the dream somehow in a creatively expressive way. You can't do this rationally. Like, we could talk about the toxic relationship and how it got played out, and we could talk about it for 20 years, and there might not be any freedom. But if you sit down, so here's the guidance. I believe the dreamer is listening. Do something creative. Maybe sit down with some colored pencils or crayons and draw a portrait of your mother. Make it as brutally Medusan as you can, ugly and you know, just all the dark. Like, it doesn't even have to look like her. It's just you create the image and then burn it.
Mm.
That's a symbolic expression of this projection I have of my mother as evil energy. I'm transmuting, and burning is a transmutation. It takes whatever the form is, and it reduces it to a new molecular structure. Ashes happen to be made out of carbon. We are carbon-based beings, so that when we burn something, we're literally telling our unconscious mind that we are changing the shape, we're changing the form into something that can be the building block of a new form. Do that a couple of times and watch the dreams shift. The repetition of it over and over and over again is an indication that there's a bit of a stuckness at a certain level of the forgiveness process. By the way, this forgiveness exercise that I talked about earlier, where you sit down and write, I am angry that, I am sad that, and the deep desire of my heart now, is another good exercise to do with a difficult relationship, even if there's no connection, even better if there's no day-to-day connection with the person. But I would recommend that a more powerful at this moment would be ritualized work, like the drawing of the picture. Something that signals the unconscious mind that you're paying attention, that you have the desire to go to a deeper level of healing the conflict.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying, we can use dreams to heal the things that are happening in the physical realm, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The dream is telling us where the challenge is. I'm still fighting with my mother inside my soul. Okay, if that's the case, we don't judge that. And we don't say it ought to be different. We say, this is what's so. I am still fighting a battle with my inner mother voice. Okay, so I'm going to look in that direction. I'm going to say, I desire a change there. So the unconscious mind understands things symbolically. It's not a rational part of us. So we can't use our rational minds to talk it away. But we can tell our unconscious minds that we're done with this level of the fight by ritualistically, symbolically expressing that. That's why the sort of the assignment, draw the picture and burn it. See what happens to the dreamscape. It might change.
Yeah.
And you go to a deeper level and see where you're at.
And let's talk about that deeper level, the power of dreams, because sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes it's something that we're going through. Sometimes we dream about people we know mistreating us, and maybe on the physical plane we're kind of cool, and then sometimes we have people that we don't know. We don't know where they came from, but somehow there's a relationship in the dream. Can you talk more about dreams and what is really happening, or what the dream is trying to show? Well, what's really happening when we're dreaming?
Yes, the most important thing for people to understand about dreams is that they know what they're doing. There's a perfect soul speaking to itself experience that dreaming facilitates. And this is happening even if we are someone who doesn't ever remember our dreams. Now, you might say, well, why do I do what I do? You know, why I do what I do is to encourage raising the stakes a little bit. By simply remembering a dream, you increase your soul's ability to know itself. By writing it down, you expand it even more. By talking it with an intimate friend, you increase the possibility even greater. And then, of course, the biggest thing you can ever do with a dream is what I described earlier, which is to respond to it in some creative way. Draw a picture of it, write a poem about it, you know, put on some music and dance around the living room acting it out. This notion of engaging in a conversation with your dreams is simply a sort of a profound way of being sacred with yourself around something that's happening within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The temptation is to think that you need to come up with some rationally satisfying aha interpretation in order for you to declare that you've done it right. Of course, it doesn't help that when I interpret a dream, people go, wow, that sounds so right. And then you think, oh, well, I'm not doing it right if I don't do it like Dr. Michael did it. It's like, no. It's a misnomer. Simply acknowledge. You know, remember when we talked about earlier, that 9-year-old boy who noticed that we weren't all being seen and heard? That's all the dreams want, really. They just want to be seen and heard. They're like that 7-year-old kid at the pool going, look, Ma, watch. And all he's doing is jumping in. And then he does it again. Look, Ma, watch. Ma just wants to read her magazine.
Right.
But the unconscious wants to be seen and heard, and I think it's a sacred act to just pay attention. And of course, yes, I do teach ways of thinking about universal symbolism so that there's less mystery. And if I can give you the sort of the quick thumbnail sketch of what to do when you are baffled, when something is mysterious, is think about what the thing is or does. What's its use or what's its essence? Like in this dream with a mother and daughter, the dream is clear about what it means, because what are they doing? They're fighting. What's a fight? It's a conflict where one is trying to, you know, exert its force and will over the other. And that's what the dream means. I'm still fighting the inner battle with my mother, even though we're not speaking.
Dreams. It's funny because I dream a lot, and I mean my dreams take all kind of shape. Sometimes I dream about somebody that I haven't talked to in a while, and it could be like just 2 weeks, and then on that day they will call.
Absolutely.
And they will call. Sometimes it's I'm talking to somebody and it reminds me of my dream, and what we're talking about, what happened, is what I dreamt about. And I think about 2 months ago, it was like I wasn't dreaming. I mean, I'm thinking, when I wake up or later on during the day, I remember having such intense dreams, but I couldn't pull it back. I couldn't, no symbol, there was no sign, there was no feeling, and I didn't understand it. And I had a friend, I was going through some emotional changes, and she said to me, well, email me one of your dreams as part of to help you, you know, in the reading that we're going to do. And I couldn't find any dream. I was like, wow, this is crazy. I looked in my journal, couldn't find any dream for 2013. And the day that we're supposed to talk, I had a dream. Which was,
of course.
Wow.
Of course.
Surprisingly enough, a dream came through. And when I gave it to her, she gave it back to me. Like, I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And since we've had that, I'm having dreams of the same theme over and over and over again in many shapes and forms. I'm just smiling, saying,
No, everything you just described today is an example of the veil thinning, that there's an increase in intuition, there's an increase in precognitive experiences, there's an increase in the connectivity that happens when we're paying attention. And that's one of the things that the dreamscape has always offered us, is access to our intuitive selves minus the conscious mind that would interfere and say, oh, that's not rational, oh, that can't be true, oh, don't pay attention to that. But in fact, we live in this magnificent world where the connectivity is getting more and more and more apparent in everyday life, and I see it all over the place with friends, with clients, with people who read my stuff, that just it's bleeding over, and dreams is one of the ways that it becomes really clear that there's way more going on in this world that we live in than meets the eye.
Yes, literally, than meets the eye. Now, there's another dream here, but I want to ask you this. What's the meaning? What does it mean? How do you view dreams when we dream about people that we know and versus people we don't know? What does that say?
Well, there's many, many, many ways of looking at dreams, including dreams where we're dreaming of people we know, because the dream may be reflecting something about them and something about our relationship with them. However, I believe that the most powerful way to behold a dream is as reflecting your own consciousness. After all, we are that. We are beings where the entire universe lives inside of us, and so why not use the dream in that way? From that perspective, anyone that you dream of is reflecting part of you. A thought process that lives inside of you, a character trait that might be part of you, a habit or pattern as it lives inside of you. Sometimes those patterns in us are best expressed by dreaming of a person who exhibits that pattern in life. So if I dream about someone in my life, I'm thinking of someone in particular who happens to be very sort of wishy-washy in her decision-making. She's really, really challenged and changes her mind a great deal. So if I dream about her, I might be dreaming about the part of me that has trouble being clear and definitive about what it is I want and need. Now, the dream might also be sparked by something that happens with her in my outside life, but that's less valuable to me than looking at how it is expressing a part of my consciousness. Now, if you don't know the person, the same thing is true, but there might just be less, you know, more to be revealed about what part of you you're dreaming about. Just like a person that you've just met, you're like, well, I don't know much about you. I wonder who you are. I'm going to be curious about you. Get to know you more and see what you might have to offer me.
Got it. All right, let's this we've got some another dream, and we've opened the Pandora box now. Nahali said, I've dreamed twice. Okay, she had two dreams 2 months ago, two different dreams. She said one was about the earth catastrophic event. One, an earthquake so powerful, the skies were rotated between day and night. The other, a complete blackout and abandoned cars everywhere, using a flashlight to get around. So she had these two dreams, kind of similar.
But they're apocalyptic dreams. And ironically, mm-hmm. one of the things I've noticed in the last couple of years is that on my website, the posting of apocalyptic dreams as part of the pieces of the Dream Dictionary that I've written that are on my website is the most visited page.
Really?
Yeah, wow. Because I think that we're all a little terrified that our worlds are going to end. Because out there, life's pretty scary.
Yes.
So it's not uncommon for an apocalyptic dream to be inspired by simply being afraid of how, you know, scary and chaotic the world is. However, if we go a little deeper with what does the end of the world mean symbolically, it means that a new world is just behind it being birthed. Mm. Every death brings about a rebirth. So the end of this world brings about a new world, a new connected world, a new expansive world where love reigns. So in this day and age, even in the first dream image where sort of, you know, the sky was flipping around and day and night became a little more frequent in its expression, is sort of an indication that things are coming together into balance, but through chaotic, shifting, changing, transmutational fashion, which is how many, you know, changes occur. Many changes occur violently and aggressively. But when we look beyond the fearful element of that, we can be comforted by the shift of change. What's curious to me the most is the flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
When the light out there is inaccessible to us, we have access to our own light. It may not be very strong, but it will guide us through the dark times until we can get back into the light of day, into the light of God.
Wow. Okay, let's take another call. Let's take a call, not another call. Delisha, how are you doing, my sister?
Hi, Day. How are you?
Very well. Say hello to Michael and tell Michael your dream.
Okay. I have had this dream over and over and over, like in the past 6-7 months, that I have a baby. I have a baby. In some of the dreams, it's a girl. And then I wake up and say, oh, my God, it was a baby again. And I'm 55. There's no way
Yes, and it's not literal. Babies are symbolic of new things, new ideas, new directions, new thought patterns, new processes, new projects. So if you've been having this dream for a bunch of months now, I would bet that there's something new, some new way of being in the world that's wanting to make itself known to you, new ideas, new ways of expressing yourself. And babies are a wonderful way of doing that. So what's new?
Oh, that's great.
You know, so I'll bet if we had the time to talk, you'd be, you know, able to say, yeah, well, there is a lot new. Or there are new things on the horizon.
I know there's something on the horizon. I don't know why she's not even saying when you asked her the question.
Well, yeah, I have this thing going. I'm dealing with youth, but if they're not babies, you know, they're almost teenagers.
Yeah, but it's new to you.
Yeah, it is. It's a new project.
That's called a baby. That's the new baby. Is the new project.
Yes.
So, you know, amen to you, and if you're giving back to youth, you're right in alignment. If we as adults don't mentor the youth, we are in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
A good and structured society is one in which the adults mentor the youth, the elders elder the adults, and the ancestors speak to the elders.
Say that again, please. Just repeat that.
A structured society that works is one in which the adults mentor the youth, the elders elder the adults, and the ancestors speak to the elders.
Yeah, take that in. Amen. Thank you. Delisha, are you over there? You sound like you've given birth. You're all quiet. Did you get an epidural or something?
Her baby's crying. She went to feed it.
You sound like it. Delisha, are you there? Delisha got her answer. Well, we can't hear you. Maybe Celeste will check you in a minute. But yeah, because I know she's working. I don't know where you are with it, Delisha, but I know she's working on starting this mentoring project. So when you said that, I was like, whoa, that's so spot on. Celeste also has...
Yeah, let's do that.
You have a retreat coming up, Dr. Michael. We'll talk about that.
Yes, I have a really exciting retreat in Montana in June. I'm very, very excited. It's June 15th to the 22nd at the Feathered Pipe Ranch in Montana. It's in the middle of Big Sky Country. It's called Waking the Teacher Within, and I'm co-facilitating with a wonderful medicine woman named Karen Trapa, who does a lot of work in Native cultures and traditions. We're going to be helping people sort of garner tools and processes and ways of working with their own spiritual practice. So we're going to do tons of dream work, and there'll be prayer work and meditation and yoga and breath work and shadow work and all kinds of stuff. We're going to honor the solstice because we're going to be there during the summer solstice, and we're going to do a new moon ceremony during the new moon that week. And the idea being that immersing oneself in all kinds of tools and practices, then once that waking, you know, that teacher within is woken up, he and she will have tools to use in order to keep your practice expanding and growing. So please, if anyone's out there interested, go to featheredpipe.com and check out the retreat and come join us in Montana.
Featheredpipe.com. And then the link that takes you to, because you have a link, right? The link of retreats and travel, right?
That's yes, what takes them to- yes.
What is going on? My computer's like, I want a feather, or I'm not moving. Okay, I don't know what just happened, but anyway, okay. So, and what are the dates again for the retreat?
June 15th through the 22nd. And in fact, if people act now, between now and the end of April, there is a bring a friend discount of $150. Everybody who signs up between now and the end of April and does so with another person, each person enjoys $150 off the retreat registration fee.
Okay. Feathered, E-D, featheredpipe.com to find out
more
information. And Michael's website is...
MichaelLennox.com. Yep.
Okay. Now let's go to Celeste. My computer just had a dream just now. My computer just had a nightmare. I had a nightmare that I wasn't functioning. I just froze in time. Okay, we bought some time and we got it together. Okay, let's go to Celeste. Here we go. Hey, Celeste.
Hi. Okay, Delisha just sent me a word. Her phone died. It was great, though. Thank you so much.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I have to let you know I'm not feeling well, so I am home. It matters. Go to it. So I woke up this morning. I did my, you know, what I do for the show, and then I went back to sleep. In my dream, I dreamt that I was asleep in my apartment. It's not the apartment that I live in now. It's actually far more beautiful than where I live. And I was startled out of my sleep in my dream because somebody was coming into my house, a maintenance man, and I jumped up furious, like, what are you doing in my house? You guys did not give me notice that you were coming into my house at all. What are you doing in here? He's like, we got stuff to do. And then the whole dream, or at least a part of it, was me going around the house and this another maintenance guy would show up behind my couch, and he was working on something. And then another maintenance guy was in my bathroom. I don't even know how all these guys got in my house. And then there was this, I know, right? And then there was this one guy, though. You know, finally I stopped being mad at them and just received that they were there to work on my house.
Amen.
You know, I didn't get mad anymore. I was just, okay, fine. You guys are here. All right, fine, with me. And then the next thing that happened, that one of the workers had a notebook, and he opened up his notebook, and he had numbers on it. And he had, you know, the numbers and what they mean, and I could see what they mean, but some of them were missing. So, of course, he triggered my gift, and so I was starting to work with him on what the rest of the numbers meant. And then this, and here's the big thing, and then his other guy showed up, and he had a different energy from all of the people. He was still maintenance, but I felt so comfortable with him. And he sat me down on the couch. He put his arms around my shoulder, and he just held my hand, and he talked to me, and it was actually very yummy. It didn't go further than that. We're not getting X-rated, so everybody show up.
Well, you just but, did.
But,
no,
but,
no, that sounded very PG-13 to me.
Well, I will say this. It was intimate. I was very close to him.
Beautiful.
I hadn't met him before. But he was so beautiful that when I woke up, I forgot where I was.
Wow.
And that was the dream.
Beautiful, beautiful. This dream is so expressive of so many things. First of all, it's in your home, but it's a more beautiful home than your actual home, which means it's the home is the consciousness of self, of who we experience ourselves to be. So when we're in a home that's more beautiful or that we're perceiving more beautiful, we're absolutely in abundance consciousness. Mm. And there's maintenance that has to happen with regard to stepping into that abundance consciousness. And at first, you're resistant to it. All of the maintenance men are men, which means it's masculine principle. It's about action. It's about doing. It's about the things in your life that you need to actually do in order to step more into your abundance consciousness. What's beautiful is that the dream is showing both the resistance and the acceptance. That's brilliant, because you can't have one without the other, and you can't – I remember once walking with a woman who's a spiritual teacher, and she's a good egg. I mean, she's the real deal, and she said something about resistance, and she said, well, I don't have any. And I thought, oh, honey. And I said, that saying you don't have any resistance is like saying you don't have weather. You know, you might move through it really fast, but you've got resistance. So this dream is showing us both the sort of resistance you have to integrating with this masculine, powerful consciousness and your eventual surrender to allowing it. And then at the very end, well, and then, of course, you get reminded of your gifts and talents with the person with the numbers. So he's the consciousness of doing numerology. Not the being of numerology, that's your domain. Mm-hmm. The doing of it, the masculine principle around your gift and talent, is actually doing the work with others. And you meet him. And then, of course, you've sort of finalized the whole picture by connecting with this one sort of inner beloved, the animus archetype, the male archetype that lives inside your soul. And you become intimate with him. That's, you know, you're very much in an integrating moment with this dream. It's gorgeous.
Thank you.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it.
I missed him when he was gone.
Oh, yeah. And he's not,
but
though. He's not
he's
gone.
Me.
He's you. He's in you. He's of you. He's with you. He's part of you.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Oh, I'm so touched by her being touched.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank
you,
Ade. I laughed. She said she woke up and she didn't know where it was. She was like, where'd it go? Oh, damn, I'm back to the regular world.
Yep.
I don't belong here. Thank you, Celeste. Oh,
thank you,
wow. You're very welcome. It's funny because, you know, there are times when I have a dream and I kind of think symbol. Sometimes I pick up your book and kind of see what it means or what I'm talking to people. But there's something about listening to you, Michael, break down a dream. And when you do it, it just makes so much sense. It's like, oh,
And thank you. And again, I have to say, first of all, I acknowledge the accolade, and it's certainly always nice to be appreciated. And I just want your listeners to know, you don't have to do it just like me in order to be doing really beautiful dream work. Mm-hmm. Just ruminating and marinating in the dream is quite enough. And if you want some, you know, input from me, you go to my website. I've got a fabulous deal, $24.99. You send me an email version of your dream. Within 48 hours, I send you back an MP3 recording of my interpretation.
Indeed. And also, Dr. Michael Lennox has his own show on Unity Online Radio, The Voice.
Yes, every Monday afternoon at 12 p.m. Pacific time.
That's right. So as you get ready to release the show, anything else is bubbling up for you, anything you want to share with our listeners or whatever? Maybe you want to share your dream with us and you want me to interpret it. I'd be happy to do that.
You know what I'd like to share? Here's my parting thought. Mm-hmm. You know, this month for you, April, is about, you know, awakening the inner wisdom. This show has been about that. My retreat in Montana in June is about waking the inner teacher. I want to remind us all, and you said it in the first part of your show before I came on, you were talking about this, that one of the most profound prayers that any of us can ever say is something like, I know I don't know the answer to this challenge, but I know that there's a part of me that does know. And that part of me is the inner teacher that is awake. And if I call upon that part, I can never go wrong.
Mm. Mm. And the teacher's always saying, here I am. Use me. We just got to ask.
That is correct.
Dr. Michael Lennox, I so enjoy you. I don't know why it even took almost a year for us to bring you back.
I know. We've got to do this again more rapidly.
Yes, I love your passion. I love your energy. I love your childlike enthusiasm and just your insightful self. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for doing the work that you're doing. And we look forward to having you back on Life Conversations Radio.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Life is good. It's getting better. It's all good. It is all good. So whatever you're dreaming about, whatever's going on in your world, take a breath, place your hand on your heart and in your stomach, your solar plexus area, and breathe. And if you think breathing is overrated, go find yourself a therapist and do some breath work. Go learn about breath work and you'll realize that, oh my God, this breath that I take for granted has some power. Because that breath can bring up stuff you didn't remember, don't even know existed. It's just so far behind the scenes. But yes, it's about taking a breath, reminding ourselves that breath is life, and life is God, and God is good. So no matter what is going on, through the pain, through the trauma, through the disagreement, if you could just take a moment, you don't need to spend 5 minutes, just take a moment. That's less than a minute. A moment to just go, breathe in and breathe out. Do it a couple of times. You connect with the teacher within. Sometimes we look for answers. Well, so what's the answer? What's the answer? Just relax. Just relax. Just be still. Life is good. I'm feeling to play this song, Karen Drucker. A song in my soul. We're getting ready to release the show tomorrow. I'm flying solo. The question is, why are you here? Who are you? You're here to be a sacred activist. And Tracy will be joining us. Tracy Ann Miller, a.k.a. Swiper. She'll be joining us tomorrow to talk about the work that she's doing. There are many ways to serve. There are many ways for you to share your love. There are many ways to share your inspiration. There's a song inside of you. There's an inner teacher. There's a teacher inside of you. You are here to bless the world. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. Be love. beloved. Be true to yourself and be loved. I will see you tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern. And just be gentle with yourself, you know? Be gentle with yourself. And the only person you can change, really, is you. But here's the thing. If you're complaining, worrying about other people not changing, look how hard it is for you. Sometimes, look at times when you wanted to change and how difficult it is, how difficult it was. So if you think it's hard changing yourself, changing the habit that you have, what makes you think you can change somebody else? You have no control over others. Listen to the song in your soul, and it's reminding you that you are whole, you are loved, you are joy. I am out of here. I look forward to having another conversation with you tomorrow. Peace and blessings. I love
Take
you.
Take a breath and know that I am healed. I am healed. There's a song in my heart, it sings I am loved, it whispers in my ear that I am loved. There is a song in my heart, it sings I am loved, it whispers in my ear that I am loved.
Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.